Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
What's going on, everybody? Justin Morgenstein back with you on another edition of Phillies Today. Lot of notable sports news going on in the city right now. Obviously, you have the Eagles, who are now in the Super Bowl. Very exciting stuff there. But maybe even more notable, Phillies Truck Day is on February 2nd. We got the stuff going down to Clearwater on Monday, so that means spring training is right around the corner. And like I said last week, before the Eagles, you know, of course, won the NFC Championship game and are now playing the Super Bowl, this just creates the bridge to spring training. Like, we have only a few more weeks until pitchers and catchers begins, less than a few more weeks at this point, like a couple weeks. And, we'll start hearing the bats crack and the gloves pop a little bit. So we have baseball to look forward to. Obviously, a Super Bowl to look forward to this weekend as well, which is just going to be, you know, absolute cinema, as the kids like to say. It's going to be good stuff. Obviously, very excited for that, but excited for Phillies baseball as well coming up around the corner. It's going to be just great stuff to see. Already some guys down at the complex. I've seen, you know, Chris Sanchez doing a bunch of workouts. I've seen Jordan Romano already doing a ton of stuff down there as well. So, you know, good to see some of the pitchers already, you know, getting their arms ready to go for the spring training season. And again, we are like 3 weeks away from when the games actually begin. So it's going to be a lot of good stuff to be able to report from down there. And finally, these off-season pods are going to be, you know, coming to an end. Not that, you know, there's a lack of content, because you know me, I will always be down to talk some Phillies baseball, no matter what the scenario might be. But, you know, getting a little dry out here. I think they're probably done free agent-wise. I had mentioned a couple times, and it was brought up here on our station, I believe our program director, Rod Lakin, actually kind of came up with this idea at first that, you know, maybe the Phillies were looking at Max Scherzer to potentially, you know, move to a bullpen role, but he just signs with the Toronto Blue Jays. And Carlos Estevez, who obviously came here via the trade deadline last year, just signed with the Kansas City Royals on a 2-year deal as well. So, you know, I still would love them to bring one more bullpen arm in. And, you know, I'll go over some of those names in a minute here, but it really does feel like they're done, man, which is just, you know, unfortunate. And I understand that with tax implications, they want to stay under a certain number right now. But, you know, look at the Dodgers. They keep making moves as well. And they're clearly going to be the problem in the National League this year. And ultimately, I mean, they are the defending National League and World Champions. So that is clearly a factor. But at the same time, they've gotten even better this offseason. They've retooled with a bunch of guys. And they're just going to be a real force to reckon with. But kind of getting back to the Phils a little bit here, I do think that they could still get a bullpen arm. Will they? I'm not sure, but just some names that interest me that are out there. Kenley Jansen, who, you know, might be Craig Kimbrel at this point, who knows, but I think he's a guy who has shown that he's, you know, pitched in the postseason in big innings. He's obviously taken down a lot of saves in his career, and maybe you don't use him as a closer necessarily, but having him as another arm in your bullpen when you just lost to, you know, hard-throwing right-handers and, you know, Jeff Hoffman and Carlos Estevez would not be a bad option. I could see them maybe going down that path if they were, you know, a cheap deal and they were able to get him here, you know, pretty cheap. So you got him. You got Kyle Finnegan, who didn't have a great year last year, but I think, or I wanted potentially deadline if they could get him, you know, for cheap. I think he's a free agent out there that they could be interested in bringing in, maybe on a, you know, on a 1 year deal. David Robertson, our old friend, still out there. Not so in on him, but there's a couple. Dylan Floro, who I've always kind of liked, but again, last year did not have the best year. He's still out there as well. So Kendall Graveman, who's, you know, taking down some big innings before, but a lot of guys who just seem to have, you know, kind of declined over the years. And I'm kind of more interested in a right-handed guy right now, but Tim Hill is another interesting name out there that, you know, had actually some decent, you know, innings and some decent run with the Yankees last year. So just a few of the free agent bullpen guys out there that could potentially still be, you know, in the market for the Phillies here. And you had a couple go off the board in the last couple of days. You had obviously, I just talked about Scherzer, even though I think he'll be a starter up there in Toronto. And the Blue Jays are kind of making a little push here at the end of free agency. It seems like they always, you know, lose out on the big guys. Like, they lose out on Soto. They lose out on some of the big fish. But then, you know, they bring in Anthony Santander and they bring in Jeff Hoffman and they get, obviously, Scherzer here. So, you know, they're having a quiet, not bad offseason. I'll be interested to see, you know, kind of where they are at next year in terms of, you know, where they fall in the AL East. And, you know, there are still a couple big name hitters out on the market as well. You have Pete Alonso still out there, and you have Alex Bregman still out there. Two guys who I don't really know what their market is right now, because you have a guy in Alonso who it doesn't seem like the Mets are in on him. Steve Cohen, in one of the introductory press conferences, it might have been Winker, I forget who, was asked about Pete Alonso, and he basically said, like, we're planning on moving forward without him right now. The negotiations have been really difficult, and as of right now, we're kind of moving forward, assuming that Pete's not going to be a Met. So pretty interesting stuff there, and I don't understand why they just don't get something done. Like, whether it's Alonso's people or the Mets, it just seems like that's the perfect marriage there. But, you know, there are other teams out there that would love, you know, Pete Alonso's had a lot of production over the last few years, and I understand that giving him any sort of long-term deal could be, you know, given the age and given the, you know, slight decline in production, might be a risk. But at the same time, you know, he's proven over a long period of time that he's able to, you know, provide a lot offensively to a team. And, you know, the same goes for Alex Bregman. And obviously his numbers are declining as well. And I've mentioned how I would want him on the Phillies, and it does not look like that's going to happen at this point, unless they were to shed some cash really quickly. And Taiwan Walker would kind of be the only route to be able to do that. But, you know, Bregman's another guy who he can provide a lot to a team. And I don't understand why, you know, a team like the Yankees, who, you know, need a third baseman, that's a pretty clear hole there. Why do they don't pursue him? He's got it. He's done it in the postseason. He's got a great glove still. He hits for contact. He doesn't, you know, the swing and miss, not a lot of it. And are his offensive numbers declining? Like, sure. But at the same time, you know, we're 2-3 weeks out from spring training. And if he's not getting a deal and the price goes down a little bit, you know, why wouldn't you get a proven established winner like Alex Bregman? So I thought that was pretty interesting. And just the fact that those two guys are still out there is something that, you know, we saw a couple examples last season with, you know, Blake Snell, who, you know, ended up having a great year and now is, of course, with the Dodgers. I almost forgot that Blake Snell is on the Dodgers. That's how many moves they've made this offseason. I feel like last week I, you know, talked about Sasaki a bunch, and I almost forgot Blake Snell is on the Dodgers. So, you know, Blake Snell last year, getting back to my point, was a free agent until the very end, and Jordan Montgomery is the same thing, and it feels like Alonso and Bregman are going to be those two guys this year. So just I'm wondering where they sign, and obviously the Mets, you know, I would not be shocked in the end if they made a play for either of those guys, because they could sure use a corner infielder to pair with Vientos there, who's obviously coming off of a great season. And kind of moving off that a little bit, the Phils feel set right now, which I don't know if it concerns me, but it makes me feel like it makes me feel like maybe they're standing pat this season. And what I mean by that is, you know, last year and the year before, when the trade deadline has come and the trade deadline is gone, we've been really, like, essentially disappointed due to the fact that they didn't make, you know, the big splashy move in order to go get, you know, a certain guy who can really impact the team, a big hitter, you know, one of the bigger pitchers on the market. They haven't done that. They've, you know, gotten the Austin Hayes of the world, who, you know, signed with the Cincinnati Reds the other day, I believe. And, you know, they've gotten the Carlos Estevez of the world. They've, you know, Rodolfo Castro and Lorenzen the year before. And to me, it feels like they're playing for the future a little bit. And what I mean by that is they understand that they're in a place with the farm system where they haven't been a lot in recent years in terms of they have one of the, I would say, top half to top third farm systems in baseball. I believe they're ranked 11 on, I think it was the New York Times list of top farm systems in baseball right now. But I think they're in a spot to where they understand they have a really good team this year. And if you look at it roster-wise compared to the rest of the NL East, like, the Phillies have a great roster. They really do. Like, their starting pitching especially, if you look at their starting pitching compared to the Braves and the Mets, who I think you could say the Phillies 1 through 5 pitchers, any of those five guys could be just as good as Kodai Senga. So I think they stack up roster-wise really well with the rest of the NL East. And they're at a point right now where they go, look, we're going to be really competitive, and we're going to get into the postseason most likely. And ultimately, we don't want to mortgage what could be a really long window for this baseball team to go, you know, get a guy like Vladimir Guerrero Jr. last year and, you know, put him at third base and create sort of a super lineup there. And to me, I almost think of it like they want as many cracks at this as possible. And we've seen in baseball, maybe not last year, but over the course of, you know, the past few years, especially since this new, you know, wild card has been introduced, that, you know, the postseason can be fluky sometimes. And sure, do the Dodgers against the Phillies, do the Dodgers match up, you know, obviously favorable against them? Sure. But it's the postseason and it's a 7-game series or a 5-game series, depending on, you know, division or whatnot. But, you know, stuff happens. And if you get just to that point where you're playing the Dodgers, or maybe the Dodgers get bounced out early, if you can open your window up to, say, you know, 6, 7, 8 years instead of just the next 2 years, I think it's more likely than not that you're going to get a World Series out of that. And while it's frustrating, like, I understand it for sure.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest, 100% organic cotton bedding from Boll & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with airy blankets, cloud-like duvets, and breathable sheets. You'll experience pure comfort on night one and feel your bedding get softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first order at BollandBranch.com with code Odyssey. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for their members. This week, it's all about buy five and get five free when you buy 10 mix and match participating items. Here are just a few. Coca-Cola, 7-Up, Pepsi, or Smartwater beverages of various sizes. 16-count fresh baked cookies and pint-sized Ben & Jerry's ice cream, as well as 6 mega or 12 double rolls of Signature Select soft and strong bath tissue and 6 rolls of Brightly paper towels selected varieties. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Having, you know, Bryce into his age 35, 36 season, and you'll have Trey still, and then having the new crop of young guys come up like Aiden Miller, like Justin Crawford, you know, like Andrew Painter, that's going to be in this rotation soon. You know, it's going to make this window last a while, and I think they're still going to consistently be good, and then you're going to shed some payroll, like the Taiwan Walkers of the world will come off of the payroll. You know, Castellanos comes off the payroll in 2 years. We'll see what they do with Schwarber. I still think they should extend him, but, you know, we'll see what ends up happening there. But I think ultimately what John Middleton wants is for this thing to stay open, this window to stay open as long as possible, because he doesn't want to go back to what he experienced in 2012 to 2021, where you have 10 years of just, you know, pretty miserable baseball. Like, there's some good moments in there, but just postseasonless baseball to where the Phillies in this town take a backseat, because, you know, you're seeing right now almost, you know, I'm going to compare them to the Sixers a little bit. You're seeing what the Sixers are right now this season to where, you know, people aren't frustrated with the Sixers anymore. They're almost fading off into irrelevancy. And when you have a great team like the Eagles in town and you have a team like the Flyers that are coming up and could be really good soon, you don't want to fall into that sort of space of irrelevancy and ultimately becoming a franchise that, you know, doesn't have fans turn out and doesn't even have people care. So I think that's where John Middleton's head's at. And it's frustrating that maybe they don't make the last move or they don't get the final piece to sort of, you know, make this a juggernaut like the Dodgers. But I think that's kind of what goes through the head of John Middleton when he's making some of these decisions, as well as Dave Dombrowski and the front office there, because, you know, obviously they work in tandem together. So that's where I'm kind of at on why the Phils haven't necessarily made, you know, that last move this offseason, even though, again, would still love them to get a bullpen arm. But I know I just brought up some of the other teams, and I'm going to pivot into like another fun topic like I did last week relating to the Eagles, because, hey, they're on the Super Bowl, and we are winding down towards the end of the baseball offseason. We're just waiting for spring training to start so we can get some content out of there. But I was thinking about it the other day, and here at WIP over the summertime, usually make the top 11 list of, you know, best athletes in the city of Philadelphia right now. And, you know, where my mind just goes, I go on a walk every morning, and, you know, obviously I'm just thinking about the Phillies, thinking about the Eagles, just thinking about, you know, everything in my mind before I go to work. And the other day I was thinking about what my top 11 list would look like right now. And I started making it a little bit. And to me, I don't know if there are any athletes on the list aside from Eagles and Phillies. Like, it's pretty insane. Like, I start making it and I'm thinking to myself, you know, Bryce and Saquon, probably the top two. I think again, I mentioned it last week, but if Saquon wins the Super Bowl and he comes off the season he just had, I think he probably surpasses Bryce Harper as the best free agent impact to ever come into this town. Like, I think Bryce is in the spot right now to where he's impacted the franchise more, because before Bryce Harper got here, like I said, it was just about 6-7 years of total irrelevancy in Phillies baseball in this town. So Bryce coming here kind of brought that back. But I'll tell you what, I don't think anyone could have predicted or even, you know, made up a stat line of a better first season for Saquon Barkley than you know, getting the Super Bowl and possibly winning it, rushing for over 2,000 yards, and obviously just being the dude that he is. Because I went to Penn State, I've known Saquon for a long time, like, just awesome dude. Like, he's just a great guy and does a lot for the city, and I'm sure he is gonna, you know, this is only the start of what Saquon Barkley is gonna be in this city of Philadelphia. So Saquon and Bryce to 1 and 2. Then, yeah, I think you get Zach Wheeler 3 right behind them. Zach Wheeler's dominance just been absolutely unbelievable over the course of his Phillies tenure. He's also up there for one of the best free agent signings in the history of Philadelphia. I mean, he has just dominated since he's come here. And again, him and Saquon, two guys from New York that come down here, piece it together, stay healthy, and figure it out. Like, Zach Wheeler, another one of those free agent acquisitions that has just been unbelievable for the city. I was saying, you know, you got Lane Johnson, Jalen Carter, and, you know, Nola, and then, you know, Kyle Schwarber even you could throw in there. I just don't know if there are any Sixers or, like, Embiid, to me, was my most talented guy at one point, but just the fact that he has not been able to really get on the floor this year, and it's kind of hard to estimate where he goes into that list just because of the, you know, lack of games played and the injuries. I don't know if you can really qualify him to put him in that top 11 list right now that, you know, we do here at WIP. So I think it's pretty interesting. I think probably Maxey would be the one guy that you could put in there. Maybe, you know, Matvei Michkov. I know he's coming up for the Flyers. You could possibly throw him in there. But just all Eagles and Phillies, which I just find insane. I mean, it makes sense given the fact that they are easily the two most successful, you know, franchises in the city right now. But to me, that's something that just goes to show you that it all starts with the ownership, the front office, and yeah, down to the coaches and players, where you've got really good ownership, front office, coaches and players in those two organizations. So that's kind of what I was thinking about with, you know, that sort of subject. But before I wrap this up, another fun topic I just saw thrown around here at the station that I thought would be interesting to bring up was, if the Eagles were to win this Super Bowl, would they become the best championship team in Philadelphia history? And it made me think about the 1980 and the 2008 Phillies, because obviously I've only been alive for one, the 2008 Phillies. Like, to me, they would probably surpass the 2008 Phillies just because of the fact that the Phillies were not, you know, the best team in baseball that year. And although they did win the NL East, I think they only won, what, 92 games, I believe. And they were a team that obviously got very hot in the postseason and, you know, were a very talented team, but I don't think that was the most talented team of that era. Like, I think the 2011 Phillies, a lot of people would argue, were probably the most talented team, pitching staff-wise at least. But and you could also argue the 2009 Phillies offense was better than that 2008, you know, Phillies team with, you know, the emergence of Jason Wirth and Carlos Ruiz kind of developing into an offensive threat. So I don't think they would – I think this Phillies team would surpass that 2008 team. But when you look back to the 1980 Phillies, like, they didn't clinch the postseason until very, you know, late into the season up in Montreal. And they only won 91 games. And again, first in the NL East, but at the same time, like, they're another team that kind of put together a magical playoff run to be able to eventually, you know, get to the top of the mountain and become world champions. So, and, you know, I even look at, you know, getting off the Phillies for a second, those other Eagles teams, I think that they would probably be better than the 2017 team because, you know, that team obviously had a lot of magic with it. But, you know, you look at the, you know, position by position for the Eagles team, I would say that they were head and shoulders better than that 2017 team, as talented as they were. And even just look around the city, like, you know, that 83 Sixers team, they were really dominant. That could be one that could be up there. Those Flyers teams in the 70s as well. But, you know, I think that this Eagles team, if they win the Super Bowl, probably surpasses all of them as the most, you know, talented team to ever win a championship here in the city of Philadelphia. And it's a shame because if the I often think about where the Phillies kind of like what which year hurts the most with the Phillies, 2022, 2023, 2024. And to me, I think it's always going to be 2023, them losing to the Arizona Diamondbacks, because if you want to look at just what they had from a talent perspective and a magic perspective, because, you know, to win a championship in sports, obviously a lot of things have to go your way. Like, the 2017 Eagles had a ton go their way. The 2008 Phillies had a lot of stuff go their way as well. And even look at the 1980 Phillies. Like, that Game 5 in Houston has always been, like, one of those mythical games to me where it is insane that they were able to get to Nolan Ryan and eventually, you know, put up five runs or whatever they did on the board in that inning. But you need a little magic to go your way. And they had the magic that year. Like, you had the Lorenzo no-hitter. You had the Wes Wilson home run in his first at-bat. You had Bryce's 300th home run that August where he just went absolutely insane. You had the Trey Turner standing ovation, of course. So you had all that magic going for you. And you also had the team to do it. Like, Bryce had a phenomenal year that year. Schwarber was insane that year. Obviously, Wheeler, Nolan, the pitching staff were great. The bullpen was probably better last year, but you still had an excellent bullpen that season. And for them to be up 2-0 on the Diamondbacks and then 3-2 coming home for two, I just don't know if I'll ever get over that. So that's really why you got to cherish these moments. And if the Eagles are able to do this, then it's going to be unbelievable. Like, we're going to have a parade on Broad Street. But that 2023 Phillies team really felt like the team that should have done it and will ultimately end up haunting me for the rest of my, you know, Phillies fandom and, you know, Phillies rooting lifetime. It all felt like it was coming together that year. They were by far the best team out of that last four, with them, the Diamondbacks, the Rangers, and Houston that year. And it just really felt like that was going to be their year. But hey, like I said earlier, they're trying to keep this window open, I think. And ultimately, it's going to be a scenario where they're going to get a lot of cracks at this thing. And you just hope that the dominant pitching staff they're building and some of these veterans that are going to, you know, still be here along with the Aiden Millers and the Justin Crawfords and all the, you know, prospects coming up, they're going to be able to piece something together to where they can win a World Series. Hopefully not too distant into the future here. So with that, that's going to wrap it up for this edition of Phillies Today. As always, we will be back with you next week. And yeah, we'll have a Super Bowl to get to next week. And of course, we will find some Phillies content to talk about as well. So for Phillies 24/7, this has been Justin Morgenstein. We'll talk next week. See ya.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday, where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.